Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this October 13th, 2019. And this is also a great celebration of Our Lady of Fatima. We'll kind of get into that a little bit later. But this name Fatima, this city in Portugal, and of course that is a Muslim name. Many people don't realize that. That was Muhammad's daughter's name. And so we have this connection. And for our Muslim brothers and sisters who are listening, and it's really kind of a multicultural day today, and really week and month and world, for that matter, because our Jewish brothers and sisters just this last week on the 9th celebrated Yom Kippur, which is this Day of Atonement, and Rosh Hashanah, of course, the New Year. And the new year of 5,780. So there we go. How about that? Isn't that beautiful? And that was September 30th, of course. And of course, what's going to happen also today is this, is the beautiful readings today and, what they focus in on. And they focus in on the priesthood, my brothers and sisters. They focus in on, how important it is for us to be holy, right? And of course, that's what this atonement and repentance and the coming of a new year, and of course, our Jewish brothers and sisters just celebrating that. We take stock of ourselves, right? This is, you know, as I believe it was Aristotle who said, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living. And so that's what we're going to do today, my brothers and sisters, as, you know, we head into fall, as we head into these winter months, kind of this little bit of a dormancy and things are cooling down a little bit. We want to think about what our relationship with Jesus Christ is about. And we're going to talk about the Blessed Mother. You know, all generations will call me blessed, and hopefully you're one of those people in this generation that does call her blessed. Our Lady of Fatima, of course, was this vision of these three children who, had a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and it's been, affirmed by the Church, for now some 102 years. That happened in 1917. And of course, so it's been 102 years. And, there's a lot that's happened, and of course there were a lot of predictions that came out of that. You know, the end of World War I, of course, and the onset of communism, which we're still dealing with. My brothers and sisters, still dealing with communism, this upheaval of hating God. Not just disliking God, but hating God. Hating God and teaching the people, the government, teaching people to hate God, to, you know, and that God doesn't exist and God doesn't matter and Jesus is a myth and you don't need to do any of that. And so then what happens? The people work 7 days a week. They work 12-hour days. They die early. They, you know, there's no human rights. Look what's happening in China. Look what's happening in Hong Kong. You know, and we should be praying fervently, begging God to help the Chinese people, to help all peoples, including peoples in this country who are persecuted because of their religion, be persecuted because of their beliefs, especially Christians. It seems, you know, especially, you know, the Catholic Church too, in particular too, you know, so, we're glad you're with us here today. And if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, diokzoo.org. And before I forget, also, there is the Eucharistic Congress that's happening at the Radisson Hotel. So all Catholics are called to attend that this Saturday, the 19th. And it's all day long. I know they've got a couple of great speakers coming to be at that. Congress, Bishop Bradley will be there. And if you're not Catholic and you want to find some things out about the Catholic Church, you want to listen to some good speakers, there's no charge for this. I think there might be a minimal charge for lunch or something like that. But all Catholics are very much encouraged to attend that, and to really, we're ramping up this Year of the Eucharist, which will come next year, and so this is kind of the beginning of that too. So also, we're praying. You're going to be praying this morning. Another thing, praying this morning here on the 13th of October, Sunday morning, we're going to be praying peacefully out in front of Nazareth on Gall Road, in front of Nazareth, the Mother House of the Sisters of St. Joseph, the old Mother House of the Sisters of St. Joseph, and the historic chapel. And we're praying for, of course, for the management in Cleveland, as well as some of the management here, too, to change their minds, to think about a different way to reuse those buildings, to repurpose those buildings, which is from an ecological standpoint, to save the earth standpoint, you know, which I know that they're very much into, to reuse those buildings, to repurpose those buildings. So, I mean, someone else will pay for it. They don't have to pay for anything. Someone mentioned that to me today. Well, the sisters can't afford those buildings anymore. And I said, well, then they can just give them away, can't they? Instead of tearing them down. It costs money to tear things down. It costs money to take things to the landfill. So go to SaveNazareth.com. Come out and pray with us today if you can. Come out and say two or three rosaries with us. We can, you know, talk about it and see if there's anything more we can do besides prayer, because we've exhausted a lot of our efforts, and we have come to prayer. And this is a very holy day. This October 13th, this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we'll go right into the scripture readings for this week, and then we'll talk about some of the other stuff that's going on in our diocese as well. So our first reading is from 2 Kings 5:14 through 17. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times. At the word of Elisha, the man of God, his flesh became like the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed of his leprosy. Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before Elisha and said, "Now, I know that there is no God on earth except in Israel. Accept a gift from your servant." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except to the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading. Our next reading is Psalm 98, 1, 2, and 3, and 3, and 4. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. break into song, sing praise. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Our next reading is from 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 13. Beloved, remember Christ Jesus, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel today is the gospel of Luke, Luke 17, 11 through 19. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance, and from him they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, "10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner return to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings today, some very Jewish readings today, which I think are so amazing considering we have this beautiful feast just this last week and this last 2 weeks, of course, just this last Wednesday, Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah on, which is the new year, the Jewish new year on the 30th of September. So we wish a happy new year to our Jewish brothers and sisters and to everyone who wishes to start their year over early. Feel free to. You know, we often talk about in recovery, you can start your day over anytime. Anytime you wish, you can start your day over. And sometimes that's a good idea, my brothers and sisters. And we could even say, we could even push it a little bit further and say, "I'm going to start my life over." Now that doesn't mean you get rid of everybody in your life, but mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you start your life over. Inside of your mind, inside of your heart, you get this renewal and you start to renew yourself. The mind is very powerful, my brothers and sisters. Love is an act of the will. And this is all about love. That's right. Life is all about love. It's not about politics. It's not about trying to figure out who's right or who's wrong or who's the best. But it's about love. And do I have any of that love in my heart? You know, do I pray for my brothers and sisters of other religions? Do I pray for my brothers and sisters who are dying? Do I pray for people who have no faith at all? Do I pray for the people who are incarcerated in prison? Do I pray for my enemies? Do I pray for those people who I seemingly think that I hate? Do I try to help anyone, especially my own family members? Do I forgive? We talk about atonement. We talk about reconciliation. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we need to do this more. We need to reconcile ourselves with God. We need to reconcile ourselves with the priests, through the priests who acts persona in Christe. Jesus asks us very directly today to go show yourselves to the priests, doesn't he? Luke chapter 17. And what is this all about? Well, Jesus is closely connected to the temple. Jesus is a Jew. He is a Jewish man. His mother is a Jewish woman. His father, his stepfather, Joseph, is also a Jewish man. And so we look at this, but then we also look at our first reading, right? Our first reading, because there is a definite connection here to the priesthood, to servants of God, men and women who give their entire lives to God. Not for money, not for fame, not for fortune, but they sacrifice themselves to God, much as we should do in our marriages. They marry the church, the priest, the sister. The church becomes their bride, and it awaits as a bride for us as well, if we really live our faith as we should. The church becomes a bride to us as well. It's so beautiful. You look at this from 2 Kings. They talk about Elisha, the servant of God, and will not take any payment. See? Will not take any payment, any money. The church doesn't have any direct comment on this piece of scripture, but we can see it quite plainly that, you know, and if you know anything about the Catholic Church, there's not a lot of money. You know, people think there's a lot of money because there's been 2,000 years of history of building all of these beautiful churches. Not on our backs, not on our paychecks, but on our ancestors. And yet out of our own selfishness, the selfish people that we are of this generation, this degenerate generation that we are, we want to cash everything in. Sell it all off. It's not ours to sell. Just like Nazareth. It's not for this generation to sell it off. To liquidate it. So that we can live like kings and queens. No, my brothers and sisters. The poor will always be with us. But what we need to look at is the generosity of past generations and how they have built such beautiful cathedrals all over the world. Beautiful hospitals and medical centers and schools and universities all over the world. Think about that. If you want to think about money, you know, I was thinking about money. You look at the presidential, all of the presidential foundations, right? And all the presidential foundations, past presidents, especially the recent ones, you know, and they talk about all this, the money that goes on. They all have, you know, $400, $500, $600 million in their bank accounts. So we could empty some of that money out and give that to the poor. That's my thinking on it. And there's many, 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 many foundations. Just about every senator, I haven't looked into those yet, but senators and congressmen who have these foundations with hundreds of millions of dollars in them, and yet they continue to say that the poor do not have enough food to eat. Right? Because there's no money. There's no money to fix the roads. So politicians are very corrupt, my brothers and sisters. And of course, there are corrupt people, of course, in the church too, because there's people in the church. See? So let's go right into 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the church points out that Jesus is born into this messianic lineage of David. Jesus has saved us all. We look at the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. The saying is that if we have died with him, we also shall live with him. We have died with Christ. And of course, we die with Christ in our baptism. And then finally, we go right into this, the gospel reading. And so the catechism shows in 586 on this one little piece of scripture, Luke 7, chapter 17, 14. They talk about this temple, the closeness of the temple, and how important the temple is, how important the church is, how important the priesthood is. This is very Catholic, my brothers and sisters. But I'll tell you, before it was Catholic, it was Jewish. Do you hear that? Before it was Catholic, it was Jewish. These are very Jewish traditions. The temple is important. The church is important. Yes, the structure is important. The ultimate temple, of course, is ourselves. Temples of the Holy Spirit. Walking around. Unfortunately, some of us desecrating that temple. Desecrating that temple with how we live. Our human sexuality. How we behave. What we do. How we act. And how we treat our bodies. See? So think about that. Are you desecrating your temple, your church? Think about that. So far from being hostile towards the temple, where he gave his essential teachings, Jesus was willing to pay the temple tax associated with him and Peter, whom he had just made the foundation of his future church. So who are we talking about? One of Jesus's chief priests, first bishop, first pope, Peter. So you see this, my brothers and sisters, and maybe you won't hear very many priests, you know, preach about this weekend. You know, they're very shy sometimes when they come preaching about themselves and how important a role that they play and what a beautiful role that they play in the church. What a sacrifice that they have made, a great sacrifice. But what happens instead is we emphasize on this 1% or less of these persons who have committed crimes. And we throw the baby out with the bathwater, literally. We throw the whole temple out. We throw the church out. We throw the sacraments out. All because of this 1% of the devil that has infiltrated the church. I'll let you know, my brothers and sisters, also, that, you know, 8% of the population, 8% of the population has committed a felonious crime, a serious crime. And 30% of us commit some type of crime, running stop signs, speeding, 30%, and we've received tickets. It's probably much higher than that. You know, you roll through a stop sign. Well, it's no big deal. But it's wrong. Now, there are some priests who are better than others. I will, yes, granted. Many times I've gone to reconciliation, confess a sin or two, this or that. And the priest will say to me, well, that's not a sin. And I say, Father, it is a sin for me. I am a deacon in the church. I am called to a higher standard. God demands of me and could demand of me this day my very life. And I need God to know that I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to be holy. I want to be a good temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, many times these priests who have said that or might say that to me, maybe they're a little bit more liberal and they think this, they're doing me a favor by lightening the load. But you're not being honest. And this is our pitfall, my brothers and sisters. Take this with you this week. Am I too easy on people, including myself? Now, I'm not saying to tie yourself to the butt-kicking machine. Certainly not. Many of us do that way too much. But to be honest, not brutally honest, but to be honest with ourselves. Where am I heading? Where am I going? How do I look at the church? When's the last time I was at reconciliation? When's the last time I received the Holy Eucharist? There is power and there is healing in the church. There is power and there is healing with the priests. To go show yourself to the priest. To be blessed. To be anointed. To be reconciled with God and with yourself and with your family. This is not a game we are playing, my brothers and sisters. These are our lives. These are your family's lives. So please, if you're in need of help, if you're in need of anointing, please come back to church. And if you haven't been to church, if you haven't been to reconciliation in a long time, please go. Be healed. So finally, just another reminder, we're going to be praying out in front of Nazareth this morning from 11 o'clock till 12, just for 1 hour, peacefully. Today, this 13th day of October, we'll be praying the rosary out there in front of Nazareth on Gall Road, hoping to save the historic Mother House and Chapel. And then finally, as we wrap up today, I invite you to go to EWTN.com to look at St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body in this 36th talk he had made in his general audience, because our bodies are so important. Our sexuality is so important. We need to respect our own bodies and we need to respect other persons' bodies. We are men and women made in the image and likeness of God. So this audience that in his general audience of the 20th of August, 1980, he talks about adultery according to the law as is spoken to by the prophets. The Holy Father continued his catechesis on theology of the body. He examines the emphasis of the matrimonial law on the procreative end of marriage and of the prophets and the uniqueness of the spousal relationship between God and Israel, contrary to the prevailing polygamy. Wow. Israel arrives again for us, my brothers and sisters, in this speech here, in this talk here, in the scriptures today. So be at prayer this week. Pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters. Pray for people of all religions. Pray for our Muslim brothers and sisters. This is the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, this great day. And we pray for all religions. We pray for everyone to come to the fullness of the faith, the fullness of the revelation of God Almighty in the Catholic Church. And we pray for you and for all, and pray for all of your families. May Almighty God bless you all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. We love you.